This episode of Enough is brought to you by InVision. These days, visual designers are getting more involved in the user experience design process, and for a very good reason. Developers, analysts, and clients want to help, but they often lack the creativity needed to fully imagine a system that is functional, usable, and beautiful. Finding a tool to assist you can be daunting. Most UX prototyping tools lock you into their world of scribbly lines, low-fidelity layouts, and tired UI widgets. Imagine a tool that gives you the freedom to fully express yourself, a tool that lets you go as low or high fidelity as you want. Imagine that you can use the design tools you already know. With InVision, your imagination becomes real. You design screens using your tool of choice and connect them together with InVision for stunning results that look and feel just like the finished product. You can even share your prototype with your clients and get feedback instantly. A tool for the way designers work? Imagine that. Find out more at InVisionApp.com.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, sir.
And hello, Mr. Chris Bowler. How are you?
Good day, sirs. I am doing well. How about you?
We're doing great. So, as I mentioned on the last recording with you, we wanted to have you back on. No, not to talk about organic farming and raw milk.
Okay, I gotta go, guys.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I knew that was going to be the deal breaker. But does it really have the cream top that you eat that cream top and it's like that's like the best part?
Yeah, the hard part is if you eat the cream off the top, then the rest of the milk is fairly like skim milk. So you want to it easy, leave a little bit of cream on top.
Okay, all right. You kind of like mix that in because it comes in like glass bottles, right? Not like cartons.
Yeah, the
I
way
think
we
I
get
need
it.
To instill my action as producer of this show to move.
Okay. That's enough.
That is enough. Oh, I like it. This guy is full of puns.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you want us to move along.
No, there
oh God. Who let this guy in?
So. Yes, we want to talk about, it's become a tradition with our guests. This is the setup. I pretend like I'm giving you a brand new, out of the box, state of the art, newly released, low end model MacBook Air. The one with the 64 gigabyte drive. All right.
Low end.
The one I use, as a matter of fact.
All right.
So that, and then find out what is enough for Chris. What would be the applications that Chris would have to have on that machine without breaking the bank? Obviously, you're not going to be able to put the entire creative suite on there and have anything else, right? You're going to have to make some choices. So, what would that be for Mr. Bowler?
Whew, that's a good question. When you guys first started doing these shows, I listened to a couple and thought, yeah, you know, I love the idea. And I was really looking forward to, I have a white MacBook, late 2009, I think. And it didn't have a big hard drive, but it's still at 256 gig, lots of room for everything. Lots of room. I have a small iTunes library, small picture library, so I didn't need a lot of space. So I moved to 128 gigabyte SSD, and that has been fairly comfortable until I got a new camera. And suddenly the photo volume has increased so much that I'm pushing that that size. But that would still be the sort of instance where you can put everything on a spare drive anyways with the photos. So to start with apps that would, you know, I would have to stick around. I think for one, because I run so many different areas of focus, you know, different businesses, email, love it or hate it, is a big part of my day. So mail is there, but I don't love it. I don't use it. So I think I would have to use Postbox or Sparrow. Going with
make a choice. Make a choice.
Do I got to look at the size of the app?
Not only make a choice, but also I want you to explain yourself. Why is mail not enough for Chris?
Well, I suppose if I looked into it, there probably is a way to use mail in a way that meets my needs. Okay, Postbox and Sparrow are fairly close in size, so I would go with Postbox. I find the design if for anyone who's used it before, I hear a lot of people who said, I've used it, you know, it's kind of like Mail. It's fairly similar. Like Ben Brooks the other day wrote about Sparrow, and his comments on Sparrow over Mail is that Sparrow doesn't feel like an email app. So I like Postbox. People who would use it would probably say, yeah, it feels just like an email app, and it does compared to Sparrow. I like it because in the latest version, it was good anyways, but in the latest version, they got Benjamin DeCock to redesign the interface, and it's fantastic to look at. So that right away is helps me out. But then it's got a few different features that I just find indispensable once you get using them. And if you're someone who's used the Gmail interface before, you're familiar with the whole click V or type V and then type in the name of your folder and it archives that message to a folder. You're familiar with send and archive, things like that. Postbox does that out of the box, so to speak. So for me, I write an email, write a response, V, type in the name of the folder, archive it. It's quick, it's easy, it's keyboard centric, so that's what I love. That's the primary reason why I would use Postbox. I know some people say you can write a bunch of Apple scripts or buy a third-party tool like Mail, Acton, or something like that. But then, you know, when people were saying that to me, it was just in the period when Lion's coming out, so is that going to work with Mail and Lion? For me, it's just easier to use the third-party app, Postbox. So that's why I like it. That's why I use it.
So. Yeah, I wasn't aware of the interface redesign, because when it first came out, it was kind of like, oh, this just looks like a prettied up version of Thunderbird. It was like, you know, it wasn't that great. So I'm interested to I might actually download it just to look at the redesign.
There you go.
Not to use it, but
it's,
to look at
the it's redesign. Fantastic. It looks really great. And, you know, it's one of those shops where they're building a Windows version and a Mac version, and that usually, for me, has been a reason to run away, but these guys seem to be almost building two different versions rather than one and making it kind of look as close as possible on each side. It actually looks and feels fairly native, so I enjoy it.
All right.
So that's
we got first. Email covered.
Let's throw in Yojimbo. We talked about that in our past show, but that is a essential tool for me.
Now, are you using it for more than just let me back up that question.
Okay.
How are you using it?
Okay.
Should be the question.
I use it for documenting, brainstorming project information. So, you know, I use OmniFocus for task management for the sort of higher level stuff. I use pen and paper for day-to-day stuff, but big projects, master plans are in OmniFocus. Reference information goes in Yojimbo. So there's that side of it. I keep all my receipts, online purchases, things like that. Sometimes I just save an email. Sometimes I save take a screenshot and put that in Yojimbo. So I've got quite over 200 and some receipts in Yojimbo. Notes, meeting notes, stuff like that. But I think what I've really come to appreciate it the most is how do I word this? There's been a lot of discussion on the web around archiving of content. Mm. You know, you write something yourself, or there's something that was really great that you wrote about. Some people bookmark in Delicious, or what's the new one? Pinboard, something like that.
Pinboard, yeah.
Yeah, Pinboard.
Lots of great apps for that. I've been really using Yojimbo, and using Sean Blanc's Safari to Yojimbo Apple script. You know, for me, it's just become second nature now. There's something that intrigues me. You know, if I want to read it, I'll send it to Instapaper. If it's a resource that I want to use in the future, whether it's just ideas or a particularly good piece of writing, or whether it's technical information, design, development focused, I want that in Yojimbo because that's my library, that's my repository. So I think that's really where I've grown into Yojimbo rather than having that purpose before I bought the app. It was something where I just got tired of what was that site that I saw 6 months ago? You know, that kind of mentality. Yeah, I want to be able to find it. So I throw it all, as much as possible, throw it into Yojimbo and tag it and go from there.
So I got to ask, how many items in your library?
Very small compared to most people, someone like yourself. I've only got 1,100 plus notes in Yojimbo. so it's fairly small.
I'm sitting at 2051 for you know, full disclosure sake.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. So we got you got Yojimbo. What else are you using for that there job of yours or all seven of them?
Well, like I said, OmniFocus is my tool of choice. I try to keep. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, I know for a while that you actually prided yourself at Fusion for having some of the most beautiful numbers spreadsheets known to man.
Yes.
And that you were a big fan of numbers, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
For sure. Numbers would be... pages and numbers, I guess, would be critical because most of the documentation that we use for customers and for members on Fusion is, you know, a lot of our documents are PDFs that are created in pages. But yeah, the day-to-day working and keeping track of information, I definitely use numbers for that.
Yeah. And was it Michael or Chris or someone else who was doing these beautiful spreadsheets? Because, I mean, I saw like a screenshot once when I was like, holy crap, my spreadsheets don't look that good.
Yeah, that was Michael.
Oh, man.
We wanted a way to be able to, you know, have this dashboard view of all of our currently running ads or booked ads for any given month. So he built this really nice spreadsheet. So that's kind of been the beginning. Before that, I would have been probably fairly lukewarm to the idea of big spreadsheets to track that stuff, but that one really stuck, and he did a great job of creating that. It's evolved slightly, but for the most part, it's still the same. And then, you know, I track finances, I think, is a nice one. When you run your own business, it's easy to just set up a little spreadsheet that pulls in all these different numbers and gives you a nice overview of how things are going.
Yeah.
So that's a great use for numbers.
I've never been a spreadsheet guy, but I often have found myself opening numbers to do something just like that. Like, for instance, I wanted to keep a better account this year of all of my income that comes from my writing and things related to it, because it's coming from so many little sources now, or little sources. I mean, it's, you know, I've got a book, I've got a website, that website has, you know, multiple income streams within it. I've got, you know, other, you know, little editing jobs I do, or, recently, a publisher contacted me to review a book proposal, for instance, you know, and so, yeah, it's like, you know, $150, $200 or whatever, but it, you know, all of that little stuff adds up, and I did a poor job of keeping track of it last year, and it was just so easy to just like, okay, let me just open up a little numbers spreadsheet, and oh, look, this, you know, I can just, you know, throw all these numbers in there and pull this, you know, sum over here, and boom, it does all the work for me.
Definitely.
Great. What else? What else do we got going on?
Oh, man, there's so many. There's probably, we didn't say Dropbox, which is probably the most important. That's where everything work-related goes. Until my picture library got bigger, that's where my picture library was. My iTunes library is up there. I pay for the, I'm in the, 50 gig account. Plus a few referrals, so I'm up around 60 gigs worth of space, but I'm only using 50% of it, so...
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, just for comparison's sake, first of all, I have a really weird, because I was part of the original beta and got an additional amount because of that, and because I've gotten some referrals, and I think I hit that limit, I have this really weird amount of space. I have 13.3 gigabytes, which is just, it's just strange.
It's a good number,
right? But I'm only using 51% of it, and I throw everything in Dropbox.
Even your iTunes library?
Yeah, okay, not my iTunes library. I don't have it. I don't have an iTunes library on this machine.
Right.
I'm using 24% of 2.2 gigs.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, Sean has written a lot in the last little while about external backups. And for me, that's kind of what Dropbox is. You know, I do multiple backups of my pictures and movies and music. And thanks to apps like RDO now, I don't buy any music, so that has not grown at all. But Dropbox really is for everything else. So I keep most of my application data, you know, stuff that I care about, like Yojimbo, Text Expander, OmniFocus, things like that, back up to Dropbox. And then all my work-related files are in there. So that's sort of my external storage or offsite storage. And then I keep one extra drive at my parents' house just in case.
So what do you do? Do you clone? Use super duper or something like that to clone and take it off there?
Yeah, I've got like three or four extra drives that I just every once. You know, I've got two main drives that are my main backups. One to Time Machine. One is a sort of weekly clone, and then in monthly sort of I use these other drives and clone all my machines.
Yep. So what about when it comes down to the basics? Like, what do you use for a browser, a text editor, that sort of stuff?
Sure. Just going through my doc. TextMate is sort of my editor of choice in doing design development. That's a key. But I also do my writing in it as well, or most of it. You know, I've got these other writing apps, but if I had to stick with one, TextMate would probably do the job. And you know, there's been a lot of discussion about TextMate being abandonware and all this, and people jumping onto Sublime Text or BB Edit. I'm sure those tools are good, but I don't know. TextMate still does the job for me. I don't even use a quarter of what it can do. So I'm happy with that. I use that, you know, in conjunction with Transmit when working on sites.
Transmit's great.
Oh, love it. You know, I even use it for local file browsing.
Yeah. You talked about that. I think I linked to it or something.
I think so.
I remember, you use it almost in place of the Finder at times.
At times, yeah. Yeah, just because you can move stuff, you know, you get that split screen and you can use both on local destinations, so it operates slightly differently than the two Finder windows would. Instead of a move, it'll be a copy and stuff like that. But it's great for that. Yeah. And
I don't want to leave that topic because this is something that I think the Mac should have built in, and it actually ties in with another post I recently posted on Mellow Mac where my friend Eric Mallinson. Mm-hmm. He created a smart folder that looked for any text file in his Dropbox and, had those down, in a column style list in the Finder so he could, like, quick look any of his text files.
Mm-hmm.
And, that split pane view is something the Finder could really benefit from where you can manipulate. You don't have like two separate windows. You just have two panes of a single window that you can navigate separately and move things between. But even more so, if you could not just quick look those text files, but be able to open them up and have basically like a lightweight text editor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Transmit does, if you want it to.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. It's a powerful tool, and the way you can have it open certain files with a particular application, you know, separate from, say, than what the Finder might open those files with, you know, that's handy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great tool.
Okay, go ahead.
I would consider using Coda as well. I mean, I have it, but if space was a concern, I'd probably just choose one setup over the other. But those are essential tools. Other ones are like some of these little utilities are essential to me that I can't live without. Launch Bar is definitely one of them. Although I suppose you could say that Spotlight could do a lot of the. Nah, it couldn't. some of the things like clipboard management, the calculator. You know, it's just stuff that it's like second nature, right? If I had to move to another machine without those keyboard shortcuts, it would feel very awkward. So Launch Bar is a big one.
Yeah.
Alarms is another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, I feature that on Minimal Mac as well. That's that little menu bar alarms app thing that,
I find that's just easier than putting something into your calendar, like a reminder type of thing, kind of like backpacks, reminders. And I saw there's a pretty good looking reminders app for the iPhone, which is great too. But for me, I don't know, entering into on the Mac is so much easier than putting something onto the iPhone. So I'd rather have it there. That's where I'm working. That's where I am most of the time. So I prefer it there. So that's a great little app. Fantastical is another great little app. I'm not sure if space was a real concern. I might just stick with one calendar program.
Yeah, but I mean, Fantastical is really just almost like a view on iCal without having to launch, especially in Lion, that hideous atrocity of an application.
I'm really looking forward when they add the ability to edit events, because right now you can just enter them, but I know they're working on that, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you really don't need a whole lot to get the job done. You're pretty much living with enough as it is.
There's definitely a lot of apps I have in there that I could just get rid of that I don't ever use. And there's a few big ones. You know, I have Photoshop. That's going to take up a lot of space. VMware Fusion for testing IE stuff. I would love it if I could get rid of that. That's a piece of software I don't really want to ever run.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
I thought I saw some website that you could go to and it would mimic other browsers or something at some point.
There's a few apps for it. Some of them are very expensive. Some of them, you know, it's just, for me, it's the easiest thing is just to set up an install of Windows XP. It's kind of a good reminder for what life used to be like and that I'm blessed now.
In the bad old days. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate you coming on to do this and participate in our traditional enough so that we now know. Because I really do think it gives people insights, especially with folks that, I mean, you know, you're a guy who runs multiple businesses, works for yourself, has a ton of stuff to juggle both on the home front as well as the work front, and that even with all of that, you're using fairly, you know, simple, straightforward tools and not using a whole lot of them and keeping things simple.
Definitely. Try to.
Yeah.
There's too many options are not a good thing.
Yeah. That's what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate you being on. I know you have to run.
So, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
And thanks, Michael, for once again doing the producer role and getting us off of organic milk. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks, Chris. Maybe we'll come back to the coffee discussion.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Another time.
Because
that's the whole point of the milk, right? To put it in the coffee, right?
No, I'm a black. I'm a black.
We've been through this.
Yeah, I'm a black man too. All right, well, we'll talk later.
Cheers.
Cheers.